Prepping Podcast. We're helping everyday people become prepared for whatever emergencies come our way. Where gear is good, but knowledge is better, because the more you know, the less you have to carry. We're your hosts, Mark and Krista Lawley. Hello, Prepper listeners. It's January 2021. We want to say Happy New Year to all of our listeners, and we're glad that you're with us. Christmas is over. New Year is over. Speaking of Christmas, that reminded me. Mark, I wonder if you would like to tell some of the listeners about a very special Christmas gift that you received.
I was absolutely blown away when I opened this package, and I found a bag inside that had a Jim Curtis custom-built knife. My wife and Jim Curtis entered into a little bit of a conspiracy, and now it makes sense. When Jim asked me, I'd said I was trying to decide what I wanted him to build, and he said, well, what do you want it for? And I told him, I said, for everyday carry. And in my hand right now, and if you'll look right there, you'll see this absolutely gorgeous knife with about it's a fixed blade, full tang, made of Alabama Damascus steel with some very detailed etching in there, very deep etching. It's just beautiful, beautiful knife with its red, white, blue, swirled micarta, I think that is. And it fits my hand just beautifully. And interestingly, Jim Curtis knives are so sharp that they come with two Band-Aids.
Right.
Which I still have both of mine. I have yet to have to use one. And I've been carrying it a few weeks now, a couple of weeks. And it's come in handy. I've used it in the shop. I've used it in the kitchen. Not cutting food, although it would. It'd cut food very well. But thank my wife, and I thank Jim Curtis for building what she had in mind. She was able to talk with him and to pick out the particular material that she wanted it made from, and she chose Alabama Damascus, and it's beautiful. And she said she wanted a little fancier model for my first Jim Curtis custom knife. If you want to see some of Jim's work, go on to Facebook, to his Facebook site at Jim Curtis, C-U-R-T-I-S, Knives. It's that simple, Jim Curtis Knives, and you'll see some beautiful, beautiful work there. So shout out to Jim and a thank you for that. What's our topic for today?
The topic for today is when the power goes out.
When the power goes out.
And we know what that means. The electricity is off, the lights aren't shining, the TV's off, the phones aren't charging. We got no power. That's what happens.
Which means if it's at night, we got no heat.
No light.
No light.
Mm-hmm.
So when the power goes out, what do we do? Three major concerns that we really need to be looking at when the power goes out: light, heat, and food and water.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about light. What can we do with light? What do we have available?
Well, you know, a practical prepper is already going to be thinking about that. And most of us already have somewhere we can put our hands on a flashlight or a number of flashlights, lanterns, handheld lanterns, battery operated type LED lanterns, headlamps. I will tell you that Mark actually gave me a headlamp flashlight for Christmas.
That wasn't her only present.
No, I know, but it's my very first headlamp.
That was a stocking stuffer. But headlamps are very good when you need to be using both hands.
That's true.
They're great for hunters walking out of the woods.
Working mechanicking, if you're tinkering around on motors and things like
that. Changing a flat tire.
Mm-hmm. Some folks have gone back into the vintage era, and they actually have real authentic oil lamps, real wicking oil lamps. Of course, candles. And naturally, to light these things, we're looking at matches and Bic lighters and fire sticks and that sort of thing. So that covers our light. Obviously, we want to remind everyone out there Everyone's home and family situation is different. So if you've got young ones in the house or pets or those that need a lot of oversight and protection, you've got to be very careful about your choices when it comes to open flame.
You may want to go with flameless candles.
Flameless candles, the LED lantern. These are much more safe options. If you'll definitely keep them monitored, you can go with open flame. But, you know, you make the best decision for what's safe for your household.
And I always advocate giving a child, even a two-year-old, give them a flashlight if the lights go out. Just give them a 2 AA battery, not super, super bright. You don't want that one to have 600 or 800 lumens. You're going to get it in the face. I mean, if
our nearly two-year-old grandson enjoyed shining the flashlight in our face.
Yes, and I need to replace my single AAA battery. He put a pretty good one on that one, but we turned it down on dim, so when he got us in the face, it didn't hurt so much. But that's something to consider. Have a flashlight for everyone. Have some LED lanterns to put around, candles if you can be certain to be safe. And
some people even use their cell phones flashlights, and those are bright.
They're bright, but they don't last that long.
Well, that's the thing, is that when the power goes out, you're not going to be able to charge them either. So have some. We'll get into solar chargers in a minute. But anyway, So lights were our first concern. Our next concern, particularly obviously in the winter season or the fall season, is going to be heating, keeping warm. Mark, what are you suggesting?
Well, if you've got a fireplace, an operable fireplace, just have enough wood to heat. A lot of folks buy a load of wood at the beginning of the year and burn it along, but we have a fireplace here in the house, so we don't use it at this point. We're going to have the chimney inspected and make sure it's safe to use. But we do have wood on hand. If we had to, we could fire up a smaller fire in that fireplace and be able to sleep in that room and stay warm. That would be one option that we would have. If you do have a fireplace and don't have firewood, you can pick up some firewood, these grocery store bundles, or even a box of fire starter logs.
Like Duraflame, something like that.
And I saw them somewhere today for a box of 24 for like $19. Don't remember exactly where it was.
It's a good prepper item.
It's a good item to have. It's a good way to start a fire. Stick a big lighter to the corner of the paper of that thing. You don't open those logs. You just light the paper, and it will set your other logs on. You know, it'll build a good fire.
Okay, next thing, on a recent visit to North Carolina to visit our family members, we happened to arrive at a time when their entire house heating system had failed, and so it's cold. It's very cold up there right now.
21 degrees that night.
Mark, tell them about, we went to the local farm supply place, and what did we buy?
We bought which we had been talking about getting anyway, and it was a good opportunity. We got a Mr. Heater Big Buddy. The Mr. Heaters, the Buddy Heaters, come in a number of different sizes, and we just went ahead and bit the bullet and got the larger one. It does 4,000 BTU, 9,000 BTU, or 18,000 BTU. And one of the reasons we went ahead and got the bigger one is because we've got a garage out here that's not heated, and we've got a wood shop out here that's not heated. But I found out the other day that thing on medium will run you out of that wood shop, even though it's not insulated. But we bought the adapter hose to go from the 20-pound tank to the heater. Now, this particular heater will use 2 1-pound bottles, but 2 1-pound bottles probably would not have got us through that first night because we were in a basement and we ran it on high.
And he is referring to propane, by the way.
Yes, it's propane. But the 20-pound propane bottles, and you just attach one end of the hose to the tank and the other end of the heater. And we found that on high, it burns about a pound per hour.
Pound
per hour, because we got 20 hours out of a 20-pound bottle, and that's exactly what the paperwork said it would do. Now, as the temperature warmed up, now I'm not saying it got warm, it just wasn't quite as cold. It got out of the 20s and got into the low 30s. We went to medium and we had no problem. We're still trying to figure out exactly how much we were burning on medium, But that thing on low will go for days and days.
Now, obviously, this is an indoor safe. It is labeled indoor safe. You've got to be extremely certain that when you're using propane indoors with something like a Big Buddy Mr. Heater, you've got to make sure that you are purchasing one that is labeled indoor safe and take every precaution, because if it's not labeled, you cannot use it indoors.
Right.
That is a big, huge, dangerous no-no.
And it's still a good idea, even when it says indoor safe, is to be able to have a carbon monoxide detector. Things could go wrong. Carbon monoxide kills. That's another option there. In addition to the fireplace is a propane heater that's indoor safe. Now, there's some other things you can do.
Obvious things you can do that require no power and common sense, and that is just put on some more layers of clothes, up to and including wearing gloves inside your home if you need to, using some of those adhesive hand warmers or those slip-in hand warmers, foot warmers, bundling up in blankets and sleeping bags. I mean, these are ways to keep warm, and if that's what it takes, then do it.
You can get warm in a sleeping bag,
mm-hmm.
and it's no shame in putting a sleeping bag on top of the bed and getting in it, or putting it under the cover in the bed
mm-hmm.
and getting in it.
If that's what it takes for you,
staying warm.
Absolutely.
You can do that.
Okay.
All right. What about food?
Well, yeah, our third element is, depending on how long your power is out, at some point you're going to need to eat and drink something naturally. This is where some prepping does help. A lot of times, if you can prepare for a possible power outage, particularly if you're living in a region of the nation that may be a little more prone to it because of winter weather or ice storms or what have you, you may want to try to go ahead and get some jugs of water frozen, and then you can stack those up in your refrigerator and freezer, and that will help keep the contents of your freezer, your refrigerator, cooler a little bit longer.
If it melts, you've got drinking water.
Well, that's true. That's true. Depending on where you live, if you've got a garage or maybe a covered patio or protected area outside that can be animal-free, even the bed of a pickup truck, if you've got coolers that you can load up some of your frozen foods and refrigerated foods, let Mother Nature be your refrigerator. Take advantage of some of those sub-freezing temperatures and let nature be your freezer for as long as it's reasonable.
We've put food in a cooler and packed it with snow to keep it frozen. And we've put food outside in a cooler to keep it from freezing. It sounds crazy, but works both ways.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were without power in 93 for 7 days because of a major amount of snow, that's exactly what we did. The refrigerated items went on the front porch with, you know, in a cooler, and that was just to insulate them a little bit to keep them from getting too cold. And the other one, we put frozen items in and packed it with snow. So two ways you can go there.
As the time begins to wear on and you find that your power outage may be lasting, say, more than 3 days, maybe stretching into the 4 or 5 day area, you may need to go ahead and consider cooking out some of that food that's in the freezer, because obviously those things are going to begin thawing over time. You may need to go ahead and get some of those meats and vegetables cooked and consumed. If it's too much for you, cook and share with, say, maybe check in on your neighbors and friends that are nearby, because they may not be as well stocked as you. And we would rather see you share your food than waste it and it spoil and nobody enjoy it.
Absolutely. And correct me if I'm wrong, but it can go so long out of the freezer, then you need to cook it, and then you can store it in that cooler again, and you've bought time.
A little bit of time, yeah. There's some food safe guidelines that you may want to look into to just do a little bit of research on how long foods last after they're thawed. Can they be rethawed? There's some food guideline safety. You can actually go to the USDA for that information.
Right. And for you that can, that might be the time to start canning. I know that a lot of people can use some type of stove to turkey cooker, anything like that, to boil water and do hot water canning and can some of that, the food that comes out of that refrigerator or freezer. If you're really old school, you can use salt to preserve meat, or you can smoke it, or you can make jerky out of that meat the way the old timers did.
And there's a lot of resources on that, so definitely research that and see if that is an area that you have an interest that will be working and be a proper prep for your family.
Now, this is not my area. I consider myself world class when it comes to eating, but I'm lower class when it comes to cooking. I eat much better letting the six-foot redhead do the cooking. I can heat a can of soup, and I can fry a pretty good egg. But
he does make a good breakfast.
When it comes to cooking, really cooking, that's her department. But hopefully, if you're in this situation, you've got a gas stove. If you got a gas stove, you're pretty set right there as far as cooking on top of it. Now, we've got an electric here. We'll have to find alternative means to cook. But we do have those alternative means. We do have those already planned in place. And let's talk about some of those.
Well, we actually have a gas grill. And of course, so long as you have prepped and stored propane for your gas grill, or some people have an inline gas grill, whatever it takes, an outdoor type grill can be your alternative cooking source, or a regular old charcoal type grill works. The turkey fryer, again, is a propane fueled.
And you can cook on it just like any open flame cooking, like you could on your gas grill. You don't have to do it as a turkey fryer. But you can fire that thing up, put a cast iron skillet on it, and go to town.
And some folks have these little outdoor sportsman grills that are made from cast iron. And that's used, you know, as a camp stove, a cook stove with their cast iron. And so there's a number of ways that you can create a cooking situation. I've even seen campfires actually started in clay flower pots, and there are ways using foil and flower pots and cinder blocks and stone, and there's just a variety of ways that you can create a fire pit cooking grated type situation.
Now, we don't have a charcoal grill, but we have two large bags of charcoal stored out here, and the idea is we can build a fire in the yard if we have to, if it comes down to cooking. We can build a charcoal fire right there in the yard, put the cast iron Dutch oven on it, cast iron skillets, pots. This girl loves cast iron, as a lot of Southern women do. And reading something today, it's not just limited to the South. There's a lot of ladies that love that cast iron. Mm-hmm. And I found out, guys, I'll tell you this, the way to die a slow death by your wife is to put her cast iron skillet in the dishwasher. Trust me, don't do that.
My claws will come out.
That,
yeah, just don't even go there.
Yeah,
we even have a fire pit. We could put charcoal in that fire pit,
we
can actually take out one of the grates from our grill and lay it across in that fire pit and create our own charcoal grill. So you can get creative.
Yeah,
think about
it. And without any type of a fire pit, you can stick two concrete blocks. Turn two concrete blocks up there and build a charcoal fire between the two, and you can put a grate across that in a real pinch. Now, it'd take some cleanup later, but you could even take one of the racks out of your oven and use it over an open fire.
Of course you could.
It's going to be some cleanup after, but, you know.
If you're in a power down situation and it's getting to the point that's what it's going to take to cook and eat, it's no problem.
Right.
There is no shame in that game.
Yeah.
Okay. So the next thing then is there a way to generate power? What do you think are the good ideas for trying to create power in a power down situation?
Well, it's great to have a generator, but that's definitely something you're going to have to do ahead of time. Now, most of these other options are things you're going to have to make preparations for ahead of time. A generator is a very good idea to have, whether it's one of the big whole house generators that you spend thousands of dollars on and it comes on automatically and throws the transfer switch. That's a great thing to have. These portable generators, 7,500 watt that you roll around on wheels, they're a very good option. And what I would suggest is if you are going to use that you power individual devices. Don't plug that into the house. If you plug it into the house, you're back feeding the electricity and you can kill a power worker with that, because the power's out on their end, but you're feeding it in from the house. So if you do feed it into the house, be sure that you throw that main breaker so you isolate your house from the rest of the power grid so you don't get somebody else killed or injured with that. So
yeah,
the generator is a great thing to have. Solar charging systems. They're coming down some in price. With those, you usually have a gang or a bank of deep cycle batteries that will run an inverter. Great thing to have. Some devices, like our ham radios, can power off of 12 volt as well. So if we're in a power down situation, I want this radio up. I just go out and take the battery out of one of the vehicles and bring it in here and set it under the table and plug up the radio to it and go at it. You can run different devices off of an inverter. A lot of the generators have AC power plugs on them. You can plug in cell phones to them. You'll be able to charge those. But those are things that you already have to have in place before the lights go out. But if you don't, here's some things that you can use. And one of these, Chris got as a stocking stuffer this year. And I bought two, one for her, one for me. And I've actually already used mine.
It is a solar charging bank for cell phone, powering up cell phone. You can actually, you charge the solar charging block, and then you can actually use solar power to continue to charge. Now, solar power charging block for cell phone use, if you're depending strictly on the solar power, it may take a little
bit
longer.
Slow.
It's going to be slow.
But you can plug this into the wall and charge it in just a couple
right.
of hours.
But obviously, with a power down situation, if you've got enough access to solar power, then you can, in fact, charge up your cell phone.
Right. So I was in a building the other day, and the power went out for a couple of hours. And there were some of the folks there that worked there that were running around, "My phone's going dead. My phone's going dead." And I was able to allow one, and actually the thing will do two at a time, but she was able to power her phone up and charged it up to about 30% there in about 45 minutes, 30 minutes, but she was still on it at the same time. So she was able to charge hers. Mine were already charged, but I was prepared to do that by carrying cables to fit all of the devices that I carry, and be able to plug them into that solar phone power cell bank, whatever you want to call it, and do that. We mentioned the car batteries a while ago. You can run a car battery and an inverter, and we've done this at times to charge other devices. Used to do it in the camper in the woods to run my CPAP. We literally put a 12-volt car battery under the kitchen table in the camper. We have no commercial power going to it. And I would plug an inverter into it, plug my CPAP into the inverter, and my son-in-law said he slept real well with me not snoring.
Very good. So there are a variety of ways that you can get power, find power, and make power. And you're going to need to be thinking, practical preppers, of some sort of what we call a power out plan. You've really got to start making that list of the what ifs. When the power goes out, what is our game plan? What's the very first thing we need to do? What's the second thing we need to do? And what are the things that we need to have on hand
right.
to handle our needs of light and heat, and for the summer situation, for cooling? That may be a whole different podcast when the summer heat comes. Light, heat, and then some sort of nutrition and hydration. Those three
ways to prepare that food.
Yes. And ways to cook and keep and store.
So these are just some things to think through. These are some things that we've done. And the simple way, we've got it here, and other family members have the very same thing. First thing comes on is the flashlight, which is usually in our pocket or very close to where we are. And then out come the little LED lanterns that we just turn them on, set them on the table. We do have a propane lantern here that we can fire up. We'll use it more often outside, but that thing puts off a lot of light, so you could light an entire kitchen or an entire den or whatever. Be careful, they do get hot. They do put off some heat. Be careful that you turn that handle down so that you don't reach down and pick it up and burn your fingers. But they do put out some heat, and they do put out a lot of light. But for all of those different LED devices, the flashlights and things like that, in addition to those, you need to keep some extra batteries on hand, and keep some batteries on hand for every size that you require across your devices. You know, used to years and years and years ago, about all you had was D cell flashlights, and doctors carried pen lights. And today it's all over the board, from triple A's. We have flashlights that are powered by triple A, double A, rechargeable off of USB. We have C cell, and I think we have a couple of D cell lights. And we have all of those batteries.
And some button batteries, too.
Yes, some button batteries for various devices that may require those. So that's just some things to think about, some maybe you have or haven't thought about when the power goes out, ways that you can make it till the sun comes up, and you can make it till the power comes back on. Anything else you want to add?
Well, I just wanted to also remind our listeners, too, that, you know, when the power goes out, it's alarming and it's upsetting, but there's far worse things in the world. And if you'll just keep a cool head and just stop and think and just put your hands on the things that you need, and just, especially if you're a parent with small children or you are a caregiver for someone older, it may be that you just kind of need to keep your cool head and keep your wits about you. Just because the power has gone out does not mean that your wits and your sanity have to run out. So why don't you just maintain control, realize that it's not going to always be this way. The power is generally going to come right back on in a fairly short time frame. Keep your cool and relax. And be prepared and utilize the things that you've done, and you're going to be fine.
We appreciate you being with us tonight. And do drop by a Facebook page for Jim Curtis Knives and take a look at that. And I think you'll even see this beautiful handmade etched Damascus steel and the blue, red, and white micarta handle. It is on his site. I actually saw it, had no idea that it had been built for me, but he had actually posted it, just here's one. It said custom build, not available. And I even showed this particular one to Krista as one that I liked, having no idea that this is the one that she had designed and Jim had built for me. So go by Jim Curtis Knives on Facebook and just see what's there. At least look at the quality of his work. And just drop him a message that you heard about him here on Practical Prepping Podcast. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the podcast today. And please leave us a 5-star review. That helps more people be able to hear this podcast. Share it with your friends and family. You can reach us on Facebook at Practical Prepping. Email at info@practicalprepping.info. And our website is practicalprepping.info. And as always, remember, stuff happens. Stay prepared.